Yeah, so how did you get started in it?
Okay, how did I get started? Well, first of all, I'm a public school product. And while I was in high school, I used to help my auntie, who was a teacher at the YWCA, because she used to teach a couple classes on Saturdays. So I used to help her on Saturdays. It was a reading class. So I used to do that. And then
Where did you go to high school?
Kaimuki High School.
Oh, okay.
And then I went off to Manoa, and I decided at first I was thinking of going into medicine and becoming a pediatrician.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but however,
What made you change? Or what?
math, science, and the thought of cutting up animals, I could not do that. I couldn't.
Wait. So when you wanted to be a pediatrician, you had to cut up animals,
Well, because you
or
have to
is
take
training?
science, right? That biology class
Oh,
and all that.
okay.
Oh, yeah, you have to do all that. Because in my mind, a pediatrician would be playing with babies all day long. So that's what I wanted to do, right? But can I handle that? And math, and I can do math to survive and to navigate the world, but I can't do any more with it. So it doesn't that. That language doesn't make sense to me, so, and I don't need it, so it's okay.
And
So,
then your focus was English.
yes, because okay, however, see, there's a story behind it. I wanted to major in elementary ed, but then when I was reading, what was required, you had to take PE courses, and then you had to take you had to do music, and I cannot sing, and the thought of having to teach science wasn't exciting me. However, I was gonna try it. I think the singing part was the part that I said, oh gosh, it would be horrible, I can't sing. And then at the time I was going to school, you had to sign up with the college counselor or the professor who was going to be in charge of the program. So there's an elementary program and then a secondary program, and their offices, the two professors' offices were side by side. So I looked through the door of each one, and I saw the elementary person, and I went, yikes. So then I went to secondary.
Oh,
And
okay.
that's how I got into secondary, and then but I majored in English. Yeah, because I could do that.
Okay. And then where did you first start out teaching?
I did student teaching at Stevenson, and then well, at the time that I got into education and got my degree, and then interviewed with the DOE, there were no positions, very, very few positions. And but if there were positions, if you were willing to go Neighbor Island or Leeward District.
Yeah, I've heard some people say that, like, Kent, I know, went to Molokai for his first
Yeah.
job.
So I went to interview at Waianae High School, and by the time I drove back home, I was offered the position.
Oh, okay.
But I was living in Kaimuki, and the drive just killed me. But I think what bothered me most was I went early for the interview, so I sat in the parking lot, and school had just started, and the kids were sitting in the windowsills. And I went, I don't, and these are it's high school, right? So these are, and I just graduated. So they're not that much younger than I. And I looked at that, oh my gosh. I said, I don't think I can do this. So I turned it down. I had a, I don't know what kind of position it was, temporary position or long-term sub at Moanalua High School, because the teacher was a maternity.
Teaching English.
And she was a really good teacher, but she was on maternity. So I no, before that, I had a offer at McKinley High School as part-time for ELL. So I was going to take it, but then that same day, I got called for Mauna Loa. So I went to Mauna Loa, and I did that for not even 2 weeks. And then I got another phone call from, oh, no, no, I'm sorry. That's not how it went. I got, I turned down the PTT at McKinley. And then I got a phone call from personnel who offered me Molokai.
Oh, you could have been with Kim.
Yeah, Maui High School. Maui High School, Lahaina Luna, ALC, and Hana ALC, or High School, Hana High School. So Hana High School was out of the question. Molokai was out of the question. Lahaina Luna was no way. I'm not going to teach ALC my first year. So I took High. And it was a really good experience because I've never been there. I don't have relatives or family. So DOE, they told me a resource teacher was going to put me up for a couple of days until I could find housing.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed with this resource teacher, which was, she was kind of interesting person. And I stayed with her for 3 days. And then they also hooked me up with another teacher from Oahu. So she was looking at cottages, I guess, or, you know, homes.
So she was a new teacher too.
Yeah. So she was looking for housing as well. So she found a place, a unit that was like a kind of like a maid's quarter attached to the house. Yeah. But it wasn't furnished. So we would have to furnish it, you know. And I said, nope. I'm not buying furniture. I'm not going to stay there, you know. So, but luckily I got a phone call from the office I used to work at UH, the parking office. So, you know, Les Murakami.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his secretary called me and she told me, okay, we got you an apartment. So I got an apartment in Wailuku, which is like about 15 minutes away from the high school. So I spent a year teaching at Maui High.
And was that normal for like a lot of teachers to have to move?
That was normal. And if you wanted to teach and there was such a position, you were lucky. Because there were no positions, you know, because it was real tight.
Yeah. Did they tell you that in college that, hey, there's not many positions, you might want to think of doing something else? Or
no, they don't tell you those things. They just tell you going to go interview and blah, blah, blah. But not even that, you know. So, but it was good experience because I didn't know anybody, right? So you get to know different teachers and whatnot. And the high school, the building, it was a newer high school. Everybody thought the high school that when I told them I was going to Maui High, everybody thought it was in the country. Because that's what the original high school was. And then they rebuilt, yeah. So I said, no, it's in town. And it's all in quad. The buildings are in quads. So the English department was a quad. So there's a little courtyard in the middle. And then the buildings are just right around, yeah. So all the English teachers are in that section. So I got to know all the English teachers. And then a couple of them and a math teacher took me under their wing. So it was good, you know. And then another English teacher who was the speech coach was expecting. So I became the speech coach. And I went, what? And they go, well, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. And it was a very active club. So we went to tournaments on Oahu, on Kauai, and on Maui. So I had to take the team and we had to go. So, you know, not knowing anything about that, it was an experience. So,
Yeah.
But
you didn't do speech in high school because you were into English?
Right. But this whole thing about empowering the kids to be the ones, and that's what happened. Because I said, I'm not going to fake this. I don't know, right? So I said, nope. I told the kids, nope, you guys going to lead this. I said, I'm here to support you and I'm here to chaperone you, but you're in charge. And I just turned it over to the kids.
And then what were the kids like? Did they like that to have to?
Yeah, because it was speech club. The kids who are in speech club want to be in speech club. Mm-hmm, you know, they want to compete and whatnot. So, but they were, when they had to be told what to do, then they listened. I mean, and their times, I had to tell them. I had to set boundaries and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would run practices and whatnot. But they pretty much led the way. So it was good. You know, that was good.
And then that only lasted 1 year.
Yeah, it lasted 1 year. And then I came back. And then I got a position. That's when I got a position at Mauna Loa that was long-term sub. Mm-hmm. And then Radford High School called me. And that was a vicing line. So the teacher's on leave and the teacher can come back. But I was guaranteed for the year. It would seem like on Maui High, the teacher was on leave. Maui High, they wanted me to stay. And I said, I would love to stay, but my grandma is not doing well. I have to go home. I didn't want to stay. Because I didn't want that to be where I ended up, you know? And my grandma was not well. In fact, the year that I was teaching there, my grandma passed away. And then my auntie had cancer and she was the teacher one. Yeah. So, and I lived with her. So I said, I got to go home. I said, I got to go back. So, so I went to Radford and I did, 1 year at Radford. And then my auntie, was a teacher at Kaimiki Middle. And then she passed away. But this is really weird. I got the position at Kaimiki Middle.
Her position?
Not so much her position, but I got an English line at Kaimiki.
And then that's where you were for a long time.
I was there for 8 years.
Wow.
And the first year, I had 8th and 9th graders. And then the 9th grade class was super huge. No, wait, how did it go? I had a class of 9th graders and it was something ridiculous, like 50 kids.
In one period?
In one period, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because they had to hire another teacher. But for a couple of weeks, I had that class of 50 or 60 kids. And I had two Polynesian cousins, huge kids, and then we had sustained silent reading. So one of my friends, her mom worked at a hotel, so she got me beach mat. And when we had silent reading, I gave passed out the beach mat. You want to lie down and read? You go lie down and read. You want to sit up and read? You sit up. So they did.
Yeah, but that's so, in those days, you would think that's so different, right? To have kids to be so relaxed.
Yeah. Because it was reading, right? And I'm a reader, like, how do you sit down at a table and read? You gotta read. So, and I told myself, these boys are not gonna read, you know? So if they go take a nap, it's okay too. But they read, because I had stuff, you know? So. They read. They looked at pictures, so it's okay.
So was Kaimiki Middle kind of like how it is now. Like it was a like good school and like
the pretty student. Much. It was huge because of ninth grade,
mm-hmm.
and so that was the first year I was there was the last year of ninth grade.
Okay.
And then high school, and then ninth graders went to high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it was only seven and eight.
Did they go Kamiki High School or did they go Kalani?
Half and half. Okay. More went to Kalani. Mm. And then some went to Kamiki High School. I had Kelly DeLima. And he was rotten to the core. But I'm very happy for him because he
dropped his calling.
Yeah. So that was interesting. But then that first year, mm-hmm. I had five classes of English. I had yearbook and news writing, and the paper was every month. Yeah. Okay, put out the newspaper, school paper every month. And the yearbook, and then I had student activities.
Because they were short teachers, or that was just normal?
That they were short. And I had to balance all of that. But I made it through. Put out the yearbook, put out the paper. And our paper, and our day's technology was very different, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So we had this thing, this machine called Mimeograph, mm-hmm. and it was you type on this coated paper. If you made a mistake, you had to get a razor blade and scrape off the mistake and type. Okay, yeah, it was it wasn't funny. And then you had to print it. It was horrible.
And then how was printing done?
On this machine.
Oh, so they had printers.
No, Mimeograph machine. So you put your master in that you typed.
Uh-huh.
And then it would feed in and it would just kind of churn out the copy. It would print the copies.
So how many copies?
The papers come. Yeah, so the print comes out kind of damp, right? Because it's printing.
Was that like the purplish color?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it was but when I was at Radford, I put together a poetry book for my students.
Mm-hmm.
So I published a book for them. So the yearbook stuff was terrible, but I published before, so I knew, you know, how to do that. And then the newspaper was like, oh my god. Because it was, I mean, you have to do layout, right? And it was all cut and paste.
Oh, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
See, but you learned so much, right? Because
And you're the newest and the youngest, so they just, here you go, you know? And I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for a couple of years.
And then you just had straight English after that.
No. What did I had English, and then I was middle school coordinator because we became a middle school.
Oh.
Yeah, so I had half time, you know, middle school half time, and then teaching.
That was when they moved from intermediate to middle school, which philosophy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When was that? Like 19?
Oh, I don't know. 1980s? Yeah, late 80s.
Wow, that long ago? I thought it was a recent change.
No.
Mm.
No, it was about 84, 85. Maybe
then that's 80s. Strange that some schools are still intermediate.
Yeah, because it kind of depends on the demographics of the area. You know, and then availability of space. Because some schools cannot take in the students, yeah? So that's why they're still K-5 or whatever. K-6.
Okay. And then you moved to
Resource? Then I went to Resource. at district. So it's mm-hmm. district language arts.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was 5 years. And then after 5 years, there was a budget shortage.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us were cut.
Mm-hmm.
But we were cut in May, so after transfer.
Mm.
So they held whatever was left.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't place any other hires. So it was the resource teachers were given priority in terms of what was left.
Mm, okay.
So what was left on the list was Kamiki, was Kamiki. And it was SMP. So I took it.
SMP at Kamiki.
Yeah. And I took it because I said, okay, I'm familiar with the school. So yeah. It's not like, you know, I have to learn something all over again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I can do SMP. I mean, I taught those Polynesian kids, you know, so I said, I can do it. So I did.
Wow, even SMP has been around that long.
Yes, yes. And we used to have classes. So I had classes. I had SMP classes.
Oh.
I did that. And then the same principal, right, Frank Fernandez. Mm-hmm. So
still, he was around that long?
Yes. So he told me, are you sure you want this position? He goes, I would love to have you back, but it's SMP. I said, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm a mm-hmm. teacher. I can teach, mm-hmm. you know. So mm-hmm. I took it. And then within a month, he made me half-time SMP teacher, and the other half was student activities.
Okay. Oh, you did so much, yeah?
Mm-hmm. No, I take it back. It was middle school. When I started there, it was student activities
mm-hmm,
that they
mm-hmm.
gave me half. Yeah. Mm. So I did student activities, but I did everything, student activities and grade level.
Mm.
And I had one period for that. Whoopee.
Well, that's how you know, yeah, about everything that's going on in our school. And...
Yeah. Because I had that experience, right? Mm-hmm. And then when we were working on moving to become a middle school, I was part of that.
Mm-hmm. At Kaimuki or New Valley?
At Kaimuki, but then it was the consortium of schools. Yeah, so had New Valley. It was Eric Hugh was the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Washington Middle was Marsha Allegre at that time.
Mm.
And so we were a cohort of schools that were pursuing going to middle level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we had nighttime meetings with different feeder schools and presentations and all that. So we had to do all of that.
Hmm.
So, okay. I mean, so that was good, though. That was good experience.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then as a teacher, okay, so you don't know this, but in our history of standards education, the standards mm-hmm. for content,
mm-hmm.
it started off with the infamous blue book. And it was it was a blue cover book. And it was just a bunch of standards. But it was performance indicators and something else. I forget what it was. So I was on that committee all the way through what's current in terms of Common Core.
Okay.
Yeah. So there were like different iterations of the standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on every single one.
How did you, like, the principal selected you, or how did you get to become a part of that?
The language arts specialist, our school, we were offered this pilot project mm-hmm. of this reading thing, so I volunteered to do it, because mm-hmm. it meant that you got resources, yeah, so, mm-hmm. oh, okay, this would be good, so. I took it, but then it was too simple. It was like mastery-based education or something like that. Uh-huh. But it was too simple, so I modified as I taught it. And mm-hmm. then the state person came to observe
uh-huh.
along with the project coordinator from the state. And she saw what I did in terms of taking this program, which I thought was a little too easy, and I modified it. So then she's tapped into me. That's how I got to know her. Mm-hmm. And she's like top notch. She was just top notch. So I really, really liked working with her. And that's how it came to be.
So you always had that mindset, to change things if it wasn't working, or to adapt for your students, to push them in.
Yeah, and to make it, I think for me, it has to make sense, you know, and it has to be more relevant. Like, I'm not going to teach them stuff that I myself didn't find interesting because I had no connections to it, you know. So I just wanted to have kids engaged, you know, and I wanted them to love reading, and I wanted them to like writing. So that was my whole thing.
Okay.
So then I went back to Kaimiki, and that's when he made me part-time middle school, and then I had SMP, and then we went to modified school year calendar, and that's when I transferred to New Valley.
Why did you make that transfer to New Valley?
Because my kids were in public schools in Hawaii Kai, so because that's where we live, and the Kaiser Complex schools were going modified, not Kaimiki.
Oh,
because it was choice. Okay. Yeah, it was all by choice. The complexes could choose.
Yeah,
and I said, oh gosh, I need to be on the same schedule. Yeah, you know. So and New Valley had an opening, so I applied
for eighth grade English. So what made you gravitate or move towards sixth grade?
Okay, so I always tell my student teachers, don't get stuck teaching in one place for 10 years. You have to go out and you have to experience what's out there. Okay, so it was 8 years at Kaimiki. Then I went to district for five years. Then at district, we had no choice. We lost our positions, right? And then I got called back, but philosophically, I couldn't do what they wanted me to do. So I said, thank you, but no, I'm going to stay at Kaimiki. Because I could have gone back to district, but I chose not to because it didn't resonate with me. So I said, no, I can't do that. So I'm also grounded in what I believe learning is, right? So it's going to be something that's going to be counter to what my beliefs are. I'm not going to do it. So then I went back to Kaimiki, and then and I stayed there for 2 years before I went to New Valley.
Okay.
But that was because of the schedule change.
Yeah.
Then I stayed at New Valley for almost 10. And we had like change of principal. And the person that came in, I worked with her for a year. And I said, oh, if there's another place opening, I'm going to go transfer. But I was, along the way, I was always asked to go back to resource. And this time it was at state.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so I finally said, okay. And it was timing-wise, too, because I didn't care for the principal. So I said, okay, maybe I need to take a break, so I'm going to go. So I left. And I cleaned everything. I gave away everything. Everything. I didn't take anything.
So did you think you weren't going to come back? Or you thought, like...
I didn't think I was going to go back. You know, I didn't think I was going to go back. But it was crazy at state. I learned a lot, but it was kind of crazy.
How long were you at state level?
1 year.
1 year?
Yeah. But I had to testify in front of the Board of Education for Common Core. I had to, you know, I did a lot of different things.
When was that? What year was that?
I don't know.
Was it the 2000s already? Or?
Yeah, early 2000. And then they already had elementary report card, standards-based elementary report card, and they were moving towards secondary. So when I went on, when I went to state, part of our response, our job also included standards-based education. So I was put on assessment.
Okay.
So I did, I worked with a team on standards-based assessment. And so we would go out to all the different districts and do presentations and all that. Yeah, so that's where I learn a lot, yeah. Because, you know, you're in the company of all these people that are researchers and, you know, whatnot. So that was good.
So and why then, only why only 1 year then?
Because my boss was, okay, so my, the person who picked, told me to go to district was a research teacher at district, but moved up to state to be the language arts specialist. So her position was open. So she asked me to apply.
Okay. Okay.
And that was the third time they asked me to apply while I was at Kamiki. Yeah. So then I finally said, okay. So I left, and the team that I was, the research teachers, the language arts research teachers, it was a really, really strong group of teachers, the research teachers. They were like excellent. I felt inadequate next to them. They were excellent. And one of them, Milton Kimura, he became the state specialist when Leila Naka, who I thoroughly respect, she's so good, she retired. So she told me to move to state and be Milton's resource teacher. Because he had a resource teacher, but it wasn't working out. So they advertised again the position. And she told me, you need to go. So I went, you know. But Milton is like super smart, you know, like really, really smart.
And just like you, like
no, he's super smart. I mean, incredibly smart, and he's a writer, and he's very professional in everything that he does. So I totally respect him, and at the same time, I'm super scared of him because he's so smart, you know. And I don't want to screw up.
Is he still around? Is he still in?
No, he's retired. You know, so he. He was there already by the time I went. So he was there a couple of years. And at that time, the there's stuff going on at the state with the director and everything. And just the matter of business and all that. So Milton told me that he's going to retire. He cannot tell, he's not going to tell me what to do. But he said, and I, so I looked at him, I said, you know what? There's an opening at Kamiki again. I'm going to go. I'm not Kamiki, at New Valley. Yeah. So the teacher who took my position, she moved to grade eight. She was seventh grade. She moved to eighth grade in my, the position I vacated. And then she retired after the year. So I went back. So I went back and I had to rebuild, yeah, because I gave away everything. So I went, I rebuilt my classroom and everything. And then we entertained sixth grade. We got sixth grade to come on board. And it was the first year that we had half a team of sixth graders.
Oh, okay.
So then I took,
so you guys had half eighth and half sixth. Is that how it worked?
Yeah. So we were a team that had, actually we had a full team of eighth graders along with a half team of sixth graders. So I volunteered to take them. And that meant the six or seven teachers, eighth grade, plus an additional five, I think.
Wow.
I don't know. It was a big team. It was like 12 or 13 people on the team. But we coexisted. We had advisory was mixed with sixth and eighth grade. And it was, there was pros and cons, but it was okay. and we just became a bigger team, but same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got full six, the following year was full six. So I told Corey, because Corey was on board already.
Mm-hmm.
I told Corey, I don't know about you guys, but I'm gonna apply for six. So I took the praxis. And then I
Because you would have just been seventh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did. So we all took the praxis. So they all said they're all gonna go down. So we all took the praxis and we all moved down to six.
Huh.
Because six would have been the closest to elementary, right? Remember now, yeah, in the beginning, yeah. I wanted to teach elementary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Six was the closest to elementary that I was going to get to.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I told myself I would end my career at high school. Then I go back full circle, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen.
Well, it could still happen.
No. happened. So my whole 10-year thing, okay? Uh-huh. So I was at New Valley for 10, then I left for a year, and I came back,
mm-hmm.
and then I taught some more, and then I was still in eighth grade, but it wasn't 10 years yet, maybe mm-hmm. 6 or 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I switched to sixth grade, so I wasn't teaching the same thing all the way through, right? Then I went down to six,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, coming up on 10 years and six, not even 10, maybe, I don't know, 7 years and six. It's like, okay, I gotta get out of here, right? Because I gotta be true to myself. I don't stay one place for 10 years. So I said, okay. And then, you know, my age and everything, I said I could retire. So my plan was to retire out.
Hmm.
And then this other position came up.
So how many years is that total? That seems like...
My whole career.
So much, yeah.
Okay. That's you're gonna die when I tell you. At the end of this school year, it's gonna be 39.7.
What? Oh my god.
Yes, 39. Isn't that gross? 39.7.
So why don't you just go for like 50?
Are you kidding me?
That's a good number, right? 50?
No, no.
That's impressive if you taught for 50 years.
No, it's not. They're going to say, why is she still there?
Still healthy?
And... No, no, no. I can't do that. I think it's good to have new blood and new thinking. And, you know, it's just good to have younger people.
Not always. There has to be both. There has to be the
experienced
and the young.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's not going to happen. I have to enjoy life. So, and I was going to retire, but with all the changes, I decided to stay. Because I'm very passionate about the school and how far we got and where mm-hmm. we're headed. I'm very passionate about it. And I just mm-hmm. want to support the teachers, you know, and take care of the kids along the way. So that's why I stayed, and that's why I agreed to the 12 month. But I don't know now, but you know, that's what it is, right? And I'm hoping that along the way, there are people like you that, you know, something happens and a change happens and it's just incredible. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that, you know, more than just you,
mm-hmm.
that there are others that can understand why we're in the profession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why we're here, and not because of it's a job or whatnot. It's really for the kids.
See, people have to hear your story, and
no, they just gonna think he's crazy. But okay, so the thing is, all through my entire career,
mm-hmm.
I'm learning.
Yeah,
I mean, all these different experiences just.
Mm-hmm.
Has helped me grow so much as a learner. So I can listen, you know, I can read things, I can go to conferences and listen to speakers and whatnot, and mm-hmm. everything I can connect to because I've had this background, yeah.
But then there's also things that you have done throughout your career that's like has stayed the same, right? You've stayed true to who you are and what your beliefs are.
And learning beliefs don't change. They never change over time. It's always the same, you know? And so when people talk about stuff, I can make connections and I can see possibilities and whatnot. And you know, a lot of it is not anything new. You know, it's just a different way of doing it. So like computer science, I was telling you today about computer science. It's not about computer science class. It's about using technology as a tool for kids to navigate their world and to make sense of it. Yeah, because we'll never be able to teach them everything they need to know in computer science. You know, because by the day it's changing and there's no way.
Technology, it's always different.
So they just have to be curious and want to explore and try stuff out and see what happens. So I'm, for me, I'm not afraid of going, okay, I don't know, but let's go see what happens. Because I know learning is going to happen. No matter what, something's going to happen. So and that doesn't scare me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so you have a long career ahead of you.
Yeah, so if I'm going to do 40 years, that means I have 30 more years to go.
Yeah. And you know what? Right now, it seems like, oh my gosh, it's so it's so much longer, right? I never thought I would hit 40. I thought I was going to go out at 55.
Yeah, that, there's a lot of teachers, though, that are like that are like that.
And but, you know, I mean, if physically and probably mentally, if I could go 10 more years, I would go 10 more years.
So you can.
I can, but I don't think I should. I don't think I will. But I like to learn. You know, I just, I like learning. I like to.
But that's why education is the best place, because it's always evolving, right?
Yes. And I'd like to take those ideas and say, okay, we can do this. And I get excited about it. Oh, we're going to do it this way, you know?
You know, I always thought when I first started that at some point, like, I would know so much that I wouldn't have to change anything. And then teaching would be so easy. But what I found is it's not ever going to, I don't think it's ever going to be like that.
It's going to be more challenging.
As students are different and
And you know, I think and I think anyone's, any teacher's career, there's a point, there's somewhere in that journey that sometimes we say stuff like, oh, this kids, you know, it's these kids, it's these kids, but really, it's kids, but what about it? You know, and it's like, what about me as a teacher? What am I not doing that the kids are the way they are? So now I got to do something about it, you know? So, and I think it's a profession that you have to love kids. Because if you don't love kids, then it's not going to work.
And you have to understand where they are and where they're coming from. And
yeah, so that's why you, that's why I like your story, you know, because I got to see you transform. I'm just like, whoa.
But there's still so much out there.
And even from, like, I think I had kids at the right time, too. Because when I went to resource work, I was, my second was just born. And then I went to resource. So Mickey was four and then Keone was newborn. So as I was doing language arts work, I could watch Mickey and Keone, you know, become literate. And I documented that. So I had live experiment at home, and then I could, because then to me it's more credible, right? You can talk about, this is how kids learn how to read. This is how kids learn how to write. mm-hmm. you know, and then I save all their work, yeah, so mm-hmm. I can share it.
So is what you did, is that what Aaron and what's her name?
Petra.
Yeah, is that what you did before?
Yeah, sort of.
Kind of,
yeah. But they're specialists. So they're like they would be like the head of their section.
Oh, okay.
And then I was a resource teacher.
Oh, okay.
So I would be under, if Petra... Petra was replacing Milton, my former boss, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when she got the position, she asked that I stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but by that time I already accepted New Valley. So I said, "Oh, I can't."
Oh, so she's been there for a while then.
Yeah,
in that position.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I applied again. You know. To go back. Yeah, I did apply. I applied and I went to the interview. And I got selected.
And you turned it down.
I turned it down, yeah. Because I don't know what was going on at school, but something, maybe Tachima came or something. I don't know. But something happened and I, maybe that was it. Maybe we got a new principal.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to stay.
We're lucky then.
Well, I don't know if it's lucky, but you know, and it's really to survive. Well, I don't want to say to survive, but to be passionate and to want to continue, you have to find the right people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the relationships are important.
Yeah, and that support group, and it has to be, for me, it has to be a learning group.
Mm-hmm.
No, not just a bunch of friends, right? It's just people who want to learn, people who want to do things better for the kids.
That's why you should go on Twitter, because there's so many people on there that you can connect with.
I don't need to connect with anymore. I'm gonna have to let go already.
But you can still contribute as a retiree.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But I do think right now I can stay for 3 years, but I'm going to go year at a time. You know, and if after next year the school doesn't need me, then I'm going to retire.
What does that mean?
That, you know, if things... I think a person will know when, you know, you're not needed anymore.
It's not that. It's just that the kinds of teachers we have may not understand what.
Yeah, but, you know, because the minute that I feel that I'm of not of any value, I need to go.
You know?
So I think... I still value added to the school, you know. So
of course,
so, I don't know.
You
but,
can't doubt yourself.
Yeah, but no, but you know, you have to, because no one's perfect. So
yeah.
But
we have to open other people's minds to what possibilities there are.
Right.
And that's what you're trying to do. So that's why we have to keep teachers like that and bring more on board.
Yeah. Well, I think there's like Mei Lin. I think that, you know, she can, she'll blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping for a couple more. So we'll see. But, you know, and I think sometimes I just want to tell people, look, I'm old. Okay. I'm 62. And here's this kid telling me to do a podcast. And I'm doing this podcast. You know, like, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing. But you know what? It's okay.
Yeah, and you can tell people we figured it out, right?
Yeah.
It's like half an hour, but...
Yeah. And you're dealing with someone who's like clueless.
But I'm clueless too with the tech. No,
but then, even though I was like super clueless, we could do this. You know? So it's like, don't be afraid and just try it kind of thing. Yeah. And that to me is what people have to you know, understand that it's okay. Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Okay. But anyway.
Okay, this is a good place to end it.
Yes, because then you can delete the whole thing.
No. I'm going to share parts of it with my students. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what you tell them? That in the beginning, it's like, I think what's important is the question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the question that they want to, the podcast that they want to have, mm-hmm. has to be based on a question that is accessible, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to whomever you're going to have the podcast with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the question you asked me was a simple question, mm-hmm. but I could answer it because I could tell you the whole history of my mm-hmm. life, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you wanted to hear it or not, I just rattled on because, man, because it was an easy question,
yeah.
in a sense, mm-hmm. that it wasn't complex, it wasn't demanding, you know, mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. just something that, oh, okay, I can connect to this, and I know my history, so I can share my mm-hmm. history. So I think their question mm-hmm. is important, and then in the question, and you did this too, is to prod a little bit more.
Yeah.
To mm-hmm. to get to what your purpose is mm-hmm. for that, for the cast itself. Mm-hmm. So you did a